Good morning. Happy Friday. Hope you had a good week and are looking forward to the weekend. Why don't we turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 12? I'll be going through the verses 1 and 2 this morning. Romans chapter 12. All right. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm going to read the second verse again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. This chapter, Romans 12, is what we've been going, we went through this during our house church. We've been going through the book of Romans every week. And the passage is actually quite applicable to me because lately, personally, I have been challenged a lot with verse 2, which says that we shouldn't be conformed to this world. And, you know, just to share with you guys what's going on and stuff. There's, you know, at the workplace, there's this one coworker that I have. And, you know, this is the guy that, when I joined this team, I felt like God was saying, okay, this is the guy that you are to minister to. So, you know, he's your thing. But, you know, this guy is one trying guy. And, you know, he is hard to connect with. He is hard to minister to. And, you know, one thing he's exceptionally really good at is complaining. And this guy is like a 24/7 complainer. And, you know, he's always negative and stuff. And it can really, you know, bring a lot of negativity to the team. But the reason why I'm telling you this about him is because that particular day on the Wednesday, as I was reading this passage, you know, he was on one of his tirades and he was going on and he was complaining. And, you know, I found myself in that position just hearing what he's saying. And then half of me is like agreeing with what he's saying. Half of me is saying, yeah, you know what? You're right. Why is this guy like this? We can't take this. And so I can feel myself almost joining in him in what he's doing and what he's complaining. And then, you know, I feel myself like almost wanting to be like, yeah, you know, coming out and saying you're right. And then there's that other part of me that was kind of like, no, that's so wrong. You can't be like this. You can't think that way. We have to, you know, we have to act out more lovingly. We can't be, you know, we can't bring people down. We have to raise them up. And so, you know, and so I was fought with this challenge of, you know, like really not conforming to the way he does things and really trying to maintain what, you know, what God calls us to do. And, you know, so then this passage when he says, Paul says, you know, do not be conformed to this world. Man, I know how hard it can be, and I think many of us, we know it's not easy, right? It almost, you know, sometimes it almost feels so unnatural not conforming to the world. Like, sometimes when you go against what the world does, it feels so unnatural. And I think that's because, you know, that's how the enemy works, right? He always tries to make us think that the way the world does is the right way, it's the normal way, and that way he tries to influence us and everything like that. But it's interesting. And so, you know, when Paul talks about, you know, do not be conformed to this world, many of us, what we start to do and what I tend to do is, you know, in order to not be conformed to this world, we start to resist and we start to prevent ourselves from doing things. Either, for example, if we take the example of complaining, you know, what I do is I try to resist my tongue, right? You hold your tongue. You say, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to succumb to what he's doing. And then, you know what? I'm just going to hold my tongue and I'm just going to, you know, stay quiet and not say anything. But it's interesting what Paul says here, because, you know, and then, you know, many of us, because we assume that, we say, okay, do not conform to this world. That means, okay, I'm going to take myself out of this position. I'm going to keep myself quiet. I'm going to hold my tongue. I'm going to keep my emotions in check, right? I'm not going to allow myself to get ahead of myself. But it's interesting what Paul says, right? Because he gives you the answer of how to not to be conformed to this world. And instead of saying, you know, do not be conformed to this world by resisting, you know, your actions, by holding in your feelings, your emotions, what he says is, he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think that gives us a really good insight to let us know that the fact that, You know, the battle doesn't rage here sometimes, right? The battle rages here in our minds. And we have to understand that when the enemy comes to tempt us, he primarily comes to attack us in the way we think. And if you think about it, right, a lot of our actions, a lot of our emotions are more or less the outcome of the decisions that goes on in our mind, right? Like we think about something and after something happens, then we either act upon it or our emotions get stirred up by those thoughts that we've had. And we can, again, we can try to resist, we can try to, you know, like address the actions that we are doing or address the feelings that we're feeling, but in trying to do that itself, you don't get to the source of the problem. And eventually, because you constantly are trying to get over, you know, and trying to overcome, you know, the actions and the feelings, you kind of get tired and you kind of burn out. And eventually what happens is you kind of lose to what the enemy does. And so it's important for us to remember that the battle goes on here. And, you know, it's not just us who knows this, right? It's also the enemy who knows this too. Right? And so it's also, we have to be also aware that because the enemy knows this so well, he will always try to infiltrate your mind. And he will always try to let your mind wander. He will try to plant thoughts in your head, lies into your head, that will make you hopefully commit sin. Right? And so, like, for example, if you take, you know, Adam and Eve and the apple and everything like that, when the enemy comes to tempt them, right? I'm sure, you know, like, if I imagine that situation in the Garden of Eden, I'm sure that apple looked pretty dang nice, right? It was probably like shiny. Maybe it was golden. I don't know, right? And so, if you look at the perspective of that situation, it probably looked pretty good, right? But the enemy doesn't just say, "Hey, look at it. It looks so nice, right? It's so golden. It's gonna be, you know, it's gonna look great. It's gonna taste great, amazing." But he tempts her in her mind and says, "Oh, you're gonna know the will of God," and so he gets into her mind that makes her then commit the action of eating that apple. And so in that same way, what he will do with us is he will go into your mind and he will make you think things that will hopefully make you move into action that will commit a sin, right? Like even so for us as Christians, I guess what I'm trying to say also sometimes, like the circumstances around you, like the enemy will try to set up circumstances around you to try to make you fail, right? But in order for you to actually fail in the midst of those circumstances, you have to actually act out in sin. And if you don't act out in sin, obviously the circumstances are moot. But so in order for him to get you to action, he's going to get into your mind. So it's important for us to understand that the battle happens in your mind. There's a book, actually, I started reading, which I stopped. So I don't know. Actually, read the book. It's a good book. It's called, I think it's called Battle of the Minds by Joyce Meyer. Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. It's a good book, please, to have a read through. But so this morning, what I wanted to just share with you guys is just some simple points, I think, on how to, you know, renew your mind. And actually, these points are actually a collaboration of our house church, because I actually asked them on Wednesday to help me out here and stuff. So this morning's EMP is brought to you by Tregunther House Church. If you want to join us, please do feel free to check us out on Wednesday nights at 7:30. All right? Anyways, for 3 points. So how do you do it? How do you renew your mind? Point number one, think about what you're thinking about. All right? When those thoughts come into your mind, think about them. Right? And what I mean by that is not to dwell on those thoughts and be like, oh, you know, this guy said this, and not to like kind of like keep analyzing it. But what I mean is compare it. Think about it. When I say think about it, what I'm saying is compare the thoughts that you have with who God is. Right? Compare what you're thinking about to whether or not it aligns to who God is, what he says, what he's done. And in that way, that should kind of help you realize, is this a good thought that I'm having or not? The second point, right? So the first point is think about what you're thinking about. Point two is stop thinking about what you're thinking about. Right, it's not just, this goes on to talking about the whole dwelling thing, right? You can't just keep dwelling on the thoughts, right? And then once you've compared it and you realize it's not of God, you can't just continually just think about it. You have to stop thinking about it. And then this point, it's not just about stopping yourself from thinking about it, but you actually have to turn yourself away and you have to start focusing on God. Because if you don't turn away from God, you're going to you know, your mind's going to be fixated on it, right? Because, I mean, many of us, we know, if we keep telling you, stop thinking about it, you're going to think about it, right? And the only way to overcome that is to turn away from it and to turn towards something else. And, of course, in this case, we're saying you got to turn towards God. So that's point number two. And then point number three is to start thinking about what God thinks about, right? Once you turn away from these things and you dwell on God, you got to think about, you know, the things that God talks about. And then fill yourselves up with those thoughts. And hopefully you also start moving in the opposite spirit. For example, if you're struggling, if you feel like, I don't know, greed or something that's moving, then you turn away and you start moving of giving instead. Kind of thing. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you. The fishes, Yeah.